unmissable action.
This is Pompey Live on Express FM with Aquacars.
After more than 60 games, more than 120 goals and a fair few ups and downs, we have arrived at the final game of the season.
And a happy new season to you at home.
We're back. It feels like we weren't here that long ago.
Yeah, it feels like we haven't left. It feels like we've just been dumped in the Hillsborough basement ready for this game.
We're underway. Deli Bashiru's got it 30 yards out, hits it, and it's gone! Bishop charge, Bishop's header on the bar, it's going to go in the net! And Portland have scored! And Portland have levelled for a second time! Pickett to look for Bishop, Bishop! 3-2 Portsmouth! There's no question who scored that one! It's Colby Bishop, a debut to remember! Header is won, loose in the box, Deli Bashiru scores! And Sheffield Wednesday are level, Sheffield Wednesday 3.
Danny, a dramatic opening day. How would you describe it?
Well, it's good to be back.
And it's being attacked across the face of goal, and it's in! And Colby Bishop's made it 3-0! And surely Portsmouth are heading to round two of the League Cup. Cardiff 0, Portsmouth 3. Portsmouth have secured all 3 points here against Bristol Rovers. They've beaten them by 3-1 at Fratton Park. Whip to the near post, and a brilliant finish from Bishop wins the game for Portsmouth. Burton Albion 0, Portsmouth 2.
Pompey Women against Crawley Ross, and we are underway here.
Oh my goodness gracious me! It's an absolute screamer! Struck to perfection through the laces, and Pompey make it 4 before half time!
It's finally for Chaplin, and Harness is strong goal. Harness is charged, and Harness scores. Comes back to haunt Portsmouth, and Portsmouth's unbeaten start to the League One season comes to an end in their 10th game.
I'm also hoping that Tom's going to buzz in my ear when our iFollow listeners join us as well, because I cannot get my clock up in on my... Oh, no.
Marlon Pack, he showed a straight red card. It's a lovely delivery, great chance, so easy. 3-0 Charlton, and Pompey have changed the defence around. It's not made any difference.
Yeah, tough night for us. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong.
Oh, chance for Swanson. Swanson to end the game! Pompey are going to round three! Full-time at Portman Road. Ipswich 0, Portsmouth 2. And there are those boos at full-time, and they are loud. It is a bitterly disappointing afternoon for Portsmouth. They have been beaten, and well beaten, by second bottom MK Dons by 2-0. The year might have changed. Will the fortunes change for Portsmouth? And Pack has played himself into a bit of trouble there. For the second time this season, Marlon Pack is sent off against Charlton. Chance to end it, great save by Griffiths, and then it hits Dale and goes into the net. It's an own goal. The boos ring out round Fratton Park. Portsmouth are going to lose. They're going to start 2023 with defeat.
Football brings you some great moments. This is one of the more difficult things when you lose. Good people who lose their jobs, people that work so hard and were determined in Danny and Nicky to bring success to Portsmouth Football Club.
We are underway here at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Into the box, 1-2, gets it back, chance for Kane. What a goal! Harry Kane mashes it past Griffiths. Portsmouth FA Cup run has come to an end, but it's been a performance that the more than 8,500 Pompey fans can certainly be proud of.
A huge opportunity presents itself to Portsmouth for a trip away to Tottenham Hotspur. So it is London City Lionesses 1, Portsmouth 0, but in the strangest way you could imagine.
Here's Charles, if he looked up, there's a great chance for Williams. He's through a goal and he scores for Bolton. Pompey were careless from a set piece. It is Bolton Wanderers who progress to the quarter-finals of the EFL Trophy. It is a new era at Fratton Park, but there's a new man down there in the dugouts who this afternoon will take charge of a team for the very first time.
It's an absolute privilege. It's just really exciting. Definitely nerve-wracking, but exciting, and just I think there's so much opportunity and so much potential that, you know, it's impossible to not feel incredibly excited about it.
Pack will volley from distance. What a goal! Portsmouth have finally won a League One match at Fratton Park. For John Massino, it's a second victory to start. Portsmouth have beaten Fleetwood by 2-0. And Hardy chips it over the goalkeeper and puts it into the back of the net.
Sheffield Wednesday, who have a long trip back, but they pick up the 3 points today. It is Pompey who didn't really test the goalkeeper at all, and they lose by 1-0.
You were telling me a couple of minutes before we came on air about your dream Easter egg.
Yeah, just be a giant wine gum, like in the shape of an egg.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't mind chocolate, but I'm not a massive fan. But if you gave me like a wine gum, the shape and mould and the size of an Easter egg, I'll be well happy.
Short run up, Fisher scores into the bottom corner. It's 22 for the season. Bristol Rovers 0, Portsmouth 2. Portsmouth against MK Dons. The race for a place in the top six.
What's going on? What's the chat about now then, Andrew?
Red card. There's a red card. Is it for Joe Morrell?
Yeah.
Or is it for Sean Raggett? It's for Joe Morrell, has been sent off. They've come away with a point.
Two direct title rivals going head-to-head in the FA Women's National League. Penalty kick. In fact, it's Gain that's committed the foul. And early on, Oxford United will have a spot kick. 7 goals on the season for Oxford United's number 7. But Horton saves down to her left and denies her an 8. Huge moment early on in this title race. Jumping for the header and into the back of the net. And Portsmouth have the lead. And it is Portsmouth 1, Oxford United 0. John's curling effort into the corner in the dying embers of normal time. Carly Johns has surely won it for Oxford United at the death.
Jacobs crosses to the far post. Pigott arriving! And Pigott scoring! And Pompey have broken the deadlock. Portsmouth 1, Accrington Stanley 0. Final whistle goes at Fratton Park. Portsmouth 4-game drawing run is over with a workmanlike 1-0 win over Accrington.
Grand setting of Fratton Park today for Portsmouth Women. Their final game of the campaign. Lifted in towards the back post and tucked into the bottom left-hand corner by Hall. And that brings Portsmouth's home game and the season to a close. They triumph at Fratton Park 1-0 over Crawley Wasps.
Yeah, it's been busy, hasn't it? That is the 2022-23 season in around about 7 minutes or so. Welcome along to Pompey Live, brought to you by Aquacars for one final time this season. Download the Aquacars app from either the Apple app or Google Play Store now to book track and even pay for your taxi. Welcome along to what is the Pompey Live season review show between now and 11 o'clock. We'll sort of go through everything that we've seen, mainly for Pompey's men. We'll touch on the women as well between now and 11 o'clock. Then at 11 today, full live commentary as always. Full Pompey Live build-up to Pompey versus Wickham. Midday kickoff here at Fratton Park, so it is pretty quiet at the moment. It's pretty early. Early to a game, regardless of the kickoff time. But for a midday kickoff, as I was saying off air, we were here and everyone was still, the ground staff were putting their bits of string out to do the lines. So that was quite fascinating at 8:30 this morning. Alongside me, Kirsty Roxanne and Jake Smith. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Differing breakfasts for you?
Yes. Early time today, so I've gone for the cheesy flatbread and the hash brown from a named restaurant from across
McDonald's.
The
road.
Yes.
Yeah, we're not on the BBC. Kirsty, you've gone for?
I've got a gluten-free chocolate twist.
Excellent. Good stuff.
So very healthy.
Yeah, we're all set, and I've got a croissant somewhere which I haven't eaten yet. So we're good to go between now and 11 o'clock this morning. You can, of course, have your say throughout the day today. We're on right through till 3 o'clock. It's 81400 on the text, as always. Start your messages with the word Express, at ExpressFM on Twitter. Or you can email pompey@expressfm.com. Between now and 11 then, as I said, we're going to round up what we've seen for Portsmouth this season. We'll have Jordan Cross on from Portsmouth News. We'll have Dave Clark on from PA Sport. We're going to hear from a couple of diehard Pompey fans between now and 11 o'clock as well. But Kirsty Roxanne and Jake Smith with me for the time being. That season then, we were hearing in the montages, a lot of up and down in this season for Portsmouth. Jake, when you hear sort of all of those moments put together, what's your kind of overall reflection of the season? How are you feeling?
Mixed emotions, as you say. Overall, in one word, would be underwhelming. Start of a season so bright in the sort of July, August, early September period, of course. Start of a campaign with a 3-3 draw away at Sheffield Wednesday. I remember Colby Bishop scoring the third for Pompey, taking the lead originally. And with that early into the ground, we're going to hear the really nice alarm.
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready for it? Oh. I can't talk through
it's
that.
It's only a test.
Yeah, nothing to worry about, but we hear that early that we get the pleasure of having our eardrums burst.
You just wait for it to finish.
I'll wait for it to finish,
yeah.
All
right.
Yeah.
Attention, this is cutting edge.
Yeah.
It is necessary to evacuate the stadium. Please follow the instructions
given by the stewards. TalkSport are not doing that. You're not getting stadium access like that with TalkSport.
There you go, Pompey fans. If you haven't heard that before, that's what you will hear if there is something wrong at Fratton Park at any point. But, yes, it's that memory at Sheffield Wednesday, that fantastic game there, has set the mark for what could have been a very exciting season. Of course, we have the injury concerns, the massive dip in form after the sort of early November period under Danny Cowley, one win in 15, him leaving, John Messino coming in. It's been very, very up and down. There have been flashes of brilliance from his team throughout the entire campaign, and some wonderful goals as well, notably from Marlon Pack with his incredible free kick techniques. But overall, just again, underwhelming. A third straight season not getting the playoffs.
Shall we go through it then? Let's sort of go in chronological order with what happened, try and sort of condense the League One season for Portsmouth. So they started with 9 games unbeaten, 24 points gained from those first 9 games as well. Then came the 3-1 loss against Ipswich. That happened on the 1st of October. Then that started a run of 1 win in 14 games, that win being against bottom side Forest Green Rovers. It led to Danny Cowley being sacked as first team coach on the 2nd of January. Then John Messino announced as head coach on the 20th of January. And since John Messino took charge, it's been a bit up and down. 22 games, 10 wins, 8 draws, 4 losses, including a run of 4 draws, and currently 10 unbeaten, which, Kirsty, is something that we haven't really spoken about because we've been focusing on the playoffs. We've not actually spoken about the fact that Portsmouth have gone 10 games unbeaten, which kind of adds to this feeling of curiosity around this season, because it feels like a season that's just felt weird. You haven't been able to put your finger on anything.
Yeah, and I think we haven't looked at the no losses in 10 games because we have been fighting for playoffs. But obviously, if you were looking at the start of the season with 10 games unbeaten, we'd go, oh yeah, we're in for a good run. But obviously, with it being how close it has been in the playoffs, and we needed those complete wins instead of just draws, that's what really threw us off towards the end. And I think the December spell is what really pushed us out of those playoffs.
Where were you, Jake, after those 9 games? Did you believe? Did you allow yourself to believe?
After those 9 games, I had a broken nose. That's where it all went wrong.
That was
that weekend where I don't really remember much from, to be fair, Robbie. But nine games unbeaten. I remember the game here at Fratton Park. We beat Peterborough by 2-1. We lost our position at the top of the table. I believe Ipswich overtook us in goal difference on that day. But there was still that feeling of belief around the crowd here at Fratton. The atmosphere was incredible. We've just beaten a Peterborough side who every single time we come up against them, they're always a promotion rival, whether it's for the automatics or the playoffs at the time we play them. And there was that optimism, and I think that led to not a false expectation of what was to come, but at the time it seemed to be that this could be finally the year that Pompey get out of League One, and there was no reason to discount that. Look, we had a fantastic summer on paper. The players that we'd signed over the course of that summer transfer window under Danny Cowley, the experienced heads, the young talent coming in, Dane Scarlett on loan from Tottenham Hotspur, he's not had a great season, but in prospect that was a fantastic signing. And the mood was incredibly high. No one could have predicted what have happened after that. And it's just severely disappointing, as Kirsty mentioned there. The falling apart in the December period has really ultimately cost us. The last 10 games, if we had been in third, fourth, fifth position at the time, at the start of these 10 games, and that happens, it's a slight dip in form, but it's a steady end to the season. But because we were so far back, it seems even worse.
Just to go back, though, this sort of run of games at the start of the season, Kirsty, a lot of chat now is that, the summer needs to be big for Portsmouth. It was big last year, because we had Marlon Pack returning here. We had Colby Bishop, we had Joe Piggott, who were sort of two stalwarts of the league. We had Michael Morrison, even, remember him coming, and everyone thinking he's a bit of a stalwart. Dane Scarlett, big young talent. Like, it felt like we'd had a really good summer.
Yeah, especially getting packed down from Championship, like how we bagged that as well. But yeah, no, we had some really, really good signings, and I think the first 9 games, all of us had so much hope. I mean, I always have hope. Every single year I place a bet thinking we're going to win the league. But I think we all had
How long have you done that for?
7 years. It'll be going into my 7th season now.
Good stuff.
But yeah, I think we all had such high hopes, and I think the injuries after Ipswich, because I went to Ipswich away, and that first loss, I thought, right, here we go, back to Pompey ways. But All the injuries really inflicted everything, especially our big players like Lowry, Rafferty, even when Pat got injured, even like Paddy Lane getting injured and stuff like that. Like, it just really inflicted our score sheet, which then obviously brought us down to the issue that not making playoffs at the end of the season.
All right, lots to come, lots to dissect between now and 11 o'clock. A reminder, from 11 it'll be usual coverage, usual Pompey Live coverage of Pompey taking on Wickham, as Wickham just arrive as well. They're just making their way down the tunnel. I can see what looks like the kit man or something then taking a big whiteboard down the tunnel. So good stuff. Right, we're good, up and running with our Pompey Live review show there between now and 11. Going to be joined by Jordan Cross shortly from the Pompey News. More to come next on Pompey Live.
All the unmissable action.
This is Pompey Live on Express FM with Aquacars.
It is Pompey Live, brought to you by Aquacars, the driving force in Portsmouth. Head to aquacars.co.uk to find out more information or download the Aquacars app from either the Apple app or Google Play Store. It is our Pompey Live review show between now and 11 o'clock this morning, live from Fratton Park. Kirsty Roxanne and Jake Smith are alongside me. Hopefully hear from Jordan Cross from the Pompey News shortly. Let's continue then, sort of chronologically going through the season. We mentioned the 9-game unbeaten run to kick things off, then that 3-1 loss to Ipswich on the 1st of October, and that run of one win in 14 games in the league. Jake, it felt like we were doomed, didn't it?
It did, and towards the end of that run, when Danny Cowley ultimately did lose his job because of it, Pompey were mathematically closer to the relegation zone than they were the playoff places, and there was a genuine concern that, although maybe not realistically speaking, that Pompey were going to be relegated down to League Two, but there was a genuine cause to believe that, okay, if we don't pick things up in the next few weeks, we could just be a point away, or even, dare I say, in those relegation places. But I think ultimately, when you look back at that run of games, Danny Cowley, he's had to pay the price, and as a head coach, as a manager, you do have to try and adapt your team, you have to utilise your squad, you have to overcome different challenges over the course of a season. But there's no shying away from the fact that injuries have played a massive part in that run. Kirsty mentioned it before the break, losing Tom Lowry, Joe Rafferty, Clark Robertson, at times as well, Marlon Pack, he was either injured, he was suspended, Joe Morrell, of course, going to the World Cup. Before that, he had a few games out due to injury. These are really key players, and I do feel sorry for Danny Cowley that he's in that kind of position where he's trying to overcome these challenges and trying to get the best out of the squad and the team that he's got at his disposal. But yeah, unfortunately the buck does lie with the manager, and he had to go at the end.
Do you agree he had to go, Kirsty?
Yeah, I think one win in 14 games at a club like Portsmouth, where the fans are so passionate, we're very spoken fans about what we believe is best for our club, and being stuck in League One with a team that we had, and then not getting the wins that we needed with a team that could easily have reached playoffs, I think that was just, for all the Pompey fans, it was the case of we need someone to come in and just utilise the players that we have and push them and stop the injuries that kept occurring.
Ultimately though, a really sad ending to that relationship, because it was such a good relationship between the fans and Danny Cowley. It was kind of, I presume, a bit of a way up between that community aspect and also results.
Oh, I thought he was an amazing manager. I mean, the way he really brought the whole Pompey community together, like the way he made the fans fall back in love with football and everything from the season before, I do think he was an incredible manager, but the results on the pitch inflicted him having to go. But as a community manager, yeah, he got the kids going, he got the fans going and everything. So yeah, it was hard to part, but I do feel like it was done at the perfect timing for the club.
Deputy Head of Sport at Portsmouth News, Jordan Cross, has just legged it up the stairs. I thought I'd give you a minute there because I thought you might be out of breath. It's difficult. How are you? Nice to see you.
Yeah, good to see you guys. I've got to give a shout out to Pompey press man Mick Hogan for my cake here this morning. Good. So, I don't know if it's coronation cake, but...
You got cake at what, 10:24 on a Sunday
never
morning?
Too early for cake, guys, you know that.
Jake's got his hash browns. We're all present and correct. You join us chatting about Danny Cowley departing then, after that run of one win in 14 games.
Yeah.
Where were you on that position? Did you feel it coming? Because it felt like one of those things that the fans wanted the trigger pull, but we didn't necessarily expect it to happen.
Yeah, and I think that the fact that the fans wanted the trigger pulled, and it was a couple of toxic games, wasn't there? The Charlton and MK Dons games. let's get it right. That impacted the decision. I think when the fans went over the edge, and I've rarely seen Fratton as toxic as it was in those games, particularly New Year's Day. I think they thought there was no coming back from that. And once the fans go like that, they rarely, if you look at history, they rarely come back from that. The managers, when it was so vehement and it was horrible to see, actually, and speaking to Danny. Danny's a good guy, by the way. To see him, he was kind of, he was bereft after New Year's Day, and doing the post-match press and sitting there and doing the Facebook Lives and seeing, and it wasn't an easy thing to do, to ask some harsh questions to Danny about that. And he kind of, before it started, he was like, look, just ask away, I know you've got a job to do. And it was horrible, but we've got that job to do. And yeah, in the final reckoning, I think it was the right time. The ambition, despite what some people think, was always the top six this season, and I think they believed that they could do that. He's a nice guy, but I think it was the right time.
And talking about unexpected surprises, when John Messina was announced, what was it, a couple of weeks later or whatever,
yeah.
I imagine you again as journalists doing all your digging, trying to find various leads, and I imagine you're a good journalist, but I imagine it again a surprise.
Came up late, very late in the day. We had good ins, and we were speaking to a number of different people, and we knew the names in the frame. I think kind of Ian Foster was in the frame, we got that one early. Liam Manning was definitely in the frame and on the shortlist, we got that one early. John came very late in the day. We got kind of a sniff a couple of days before, maybe two or three days beforehand. His name came up and we knew it was kosher. Then we do our due diligence. We knew there was the link with Rich Hughes. They got together on the sort of the PFA courses and the pro license course, and that's where the connection was. There was alignment, and I think that's a big thing actually moving forward. I don't quite believe there was the alignment there with Danny perhaps before. He would kind of he was good at his job, but he would have a kind of gripe off the record about certain conditions that he had, and budgets and injuries and things like that. I think everyone's in tune. Like, John knows the score with what conditions he's working with. He knows that the budget's going to go up next season, which is a positive, but he knows it's not going to go to the 10 and 12 millions that we see some of these Ipswiches and Sheffield Wednesday have, and he's happy with it, and he thinks he's got a good set of conditions to work with. Rich Hughes is a very sound guy. I mean, if you look at his history, what he's done at Forest Green with his recruitment, Riley Towler in January, I mean, that's a hit straight away. We're going to see more of these guys coming in, but don't just believe it's going to be those kind of guys coming out of PL2 academies and whatnot. I think there's going to be money to be spent on the right players and the right experience when needed as well. So I'm optimistic, cautiously optimistic moving forward. I'm a lot more than I was with Danny, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Just because of that they're all singing on the same hymn sheet now.
And from a fan perspective, Kirsty, again, I imagine when John Messina was announced, again there was a sense of surprise. Were you in the camp of surprised but optimistic, or surprised but cautious?
I mean, I'd never obviously heard of him before, so when he obviously came in, I was like, "Oh, who's this?"
You're not the only one, are you?
So obviously, then I was like, I did my digging as well.
Is that because of the frustration? You naturally want a big name. You want someone you've heard of.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess because as well, when you, like, we are one of the biggest clubs, like, so you're expecting these big managers and stuff to want to work for a club like this. Because I do always think, like, when we were in League Two, we were filling the ground out. Like, surely a manager wants to work for a club like this. So obviously I did some digging into him, but in honesty, I'm always very optimistic. I think you can never judge someone before you've fully seen what they can do, and I think we have seen what he can do. It may not have had the best games at times, but then again, he has also got Cowley's team. This isn't necessarily his team. He's basically just got Cowley's team. So I think over this summer period and coming back to the start of the season again in August, I think that's when we'll be able to tell if he's the right fit for Pompey, with who he brings in, who he keeps. And obviously I know that's not just down to him, but I really hope that we utilise the players we have got, try keep as many as we can that are going to get this team up to Championship.
I mean, we talk about how the fans are viewing the owners, and we know how cynical football fans can be, but it's one of those things with John Messina, isn't it, that if this pays off, it's going to look like a stroke of genius.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and people, I hear the term cheap option, and come on, okay. People were talking about Chris Wilder as the big man with experience coming in. He was getting £1 million a year in his last job, in recent jobs. Pompey aren't going to be paying remotely that kind of money. I mean, they're kind of a tenth of that, really. So you had to be realistic about who was coming in. But it was the forward thinking element. And if you look at Schumacher at Plymouth, Kieran McKenna, Ipswich, young managers. I mean, they aren't tried and tested, but they're very progressive and they've come in and been successful. Plymouth on a smaller budget than Pompey's, by the way. I see that as forward thinking. And having got to speak to John and talk to him, I like the way he's clued up on the technical aspect of the game, but he needs to reunite the dressing room. I think he's aware of that.
And the fans
for sure. And I think that might be a longer piece of work than the players, to be honest. But I think that's been one of the things he's worked on. He's treated the players like adults coming in, and he's got them on side very quickly. And it's a hard position, because a lot of those players are 13 out of contract. They know they're not going to be here. So to work that, when players know they're not going to be here next season, people like Ryan Tunnicliffe, who are on board with John, and they know they're not going to be around. Do that. He's just spoken to them honestly and said, "Look, Ryan Tunnicliffe, I'm going to look at Harry Jewell White, and so you're not going to be around, but I just want to be honest with you and up front." And he's like, "Okay, fair enough. I understand your thinking on that." And he's got him on board. He's not kind of pulling against him. So I think that shows a good insight into how and John's working. And perhaps it's just that he's so new to the job in terms of coming out from being a player himself so recently, and he's aware. He was saying, "Look, if you want a day off, I know what it's like to be an elite athlete and be a parent as well." And these are all real things for League One players. Come and speak to me. I'm going to treat you like an adult, and I'll give you some leeway. And I think he's had buy-in because of that, and just being open and honest and treating the players like adults, really.
And so much has happened this season that I think we all kind of forget that this is the season. Rich Hughes wasn't here at the start of the season either, so he's come in recently. Jordan needs a word with Andy Cullen. He's come in so recently that this season. How sort of obvious is the changes that he's made so far?
Rich Hughes?
Yeah.
Clear and obvious, and I mean the way of working, the division of labour, really, because the managers previously had to take on that whole recruitment thing. There's not been a big recruitment team here, so yeah, I think Rich has made a big impact straight away, and none bigger than bringing John Messino in. That was Rich's call. I think I like what I see. I've spoken to Rich quite a bit, and got to know his kind of out. He's thinking on the way he wants to progress things, and none more important than recruitment, isn't it? That's what we're Pompey fans want to know about. I like his outlook, and as I say, if you look at what he's done at Forest Green, there's a number of players that he calls them broken toys that he picked off from sort of Premier League academies and rebuilt them and made them into assets. And Pompey's model now moving forward will be to buy, and it will come. You know, they will pay for it. Is to develop young talent and move them on for a profit, and that will be the model moving forward. And Rich has got a great record of doing it, moving players on to Cardiff and Bristol City for multi-million pounds, Barnsley, a number of players, Liam Kitchen with it being one of them. He's got a good hit rate. I hope he keeps it up.
Nice one. We'll let you go, Jordan. I know you've got work to do. What's your summer plans, fans?
Keep the transfer news coming.
That's what we expect. That's what we want to hear. We didn't want to hear you going on a holiday or anything.
It won't stop. On with the transfer talk moving forward, and maybe hopefully getting involved in my 6-year-old son's football team a little bit more this summer.
Good stuff. Nice one. Thank you, Jordan. We'll speak to you soon. Jordan Cross from Portsmouth News with us on Pompey Live. Right, where are we? Just half an hour through our Pompey Live review show. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Dave Clark. Plus, we'll hear from some more Pompey fans too.
All the unmissable action.
This is Pompey Live on Express FM with Aquacars.
Pompey Live is brought to you by Aquacars, the driving force in Pompey. If you're in need of a taxi, 02392-654-321 is the best number to call. It is our Pompey Live review show for the next 25 minutes or so. You can still get in touch. Don't forget, you can email pompey@expressfm.com. And I want to give a big old shout out this morning to Alan Harper, who is currently in intensive care in Southampton General after having open heart surgery. Apparently he's a season ticket holder here at Fratton Park and has had to miss a few games the last couple of months. So a big get well to Alan Harper. All our love here from all of us here at Pompey Live. Kirsty Roxanne still with us for the next 20 minutes or so. Also joined by Dave Clark, sports journalist at PA Sport as well. Morning to you, Dave.
Good morning, Robbie.
Live from your car. Off to anywhere exciting?
my son's under eight game.
Oh, good. Oh, excellent. Have you got to get off and manage at some point?
No.
Or run the line or something?
No, managing. Just stand on the sideline.
Just stand. All right. Well, thank you for joining us. Let's get your sort of initial reaction to the season then. We've been saying it's been up and down. It's been curious more than anything. What's your take?
Yeah, quite underwhelming, isn't it? I think...
Funny, we've heard that word from Jake as well.
Yeah, I think it all comes down to... If you look at the wage bills in League One, they're probably going to finish about where you'd expect. But I think we were all hoping for quite a lot more this season. I think it was a case that if Danny Cowley couldn't mount a promotion push, he was always going to go, and that turned out to be the case. And it obviously leaves them with a lot to do this summer as well, and a complete rebuild needed.
Let's talk players a little bit then, Kirsty. 13 players we know out of contract in the summer. As we said, last summer it seemed like a good summer, but then again, it seems like this summer we're going to have to do lots of work as well.
Yeah, a lot of work to necessarily keep the players that we have. I know there's loads of talk about, for example, like bringing like Tommy Lee in from Accrington, and there's some talk about trying to get some Championship players down. Obviously, with Wigan coming down, we obviously have Watmore and Naylor. If we could get them.
It's not going to happen, is it?
Nope.
Jake, no.
But we can always be hopeful. But I think the players that we have that are contracts are running out, it is the case of Senior's got to look at them and see what they bring to the side, and really try keep the ones that are going to really push us for it, like to keep Colby. I've got a soft spot for Curtis. I'd love for Curtis's contract to be renewed. Obviously, I know he's injured at the moment, but I think this summer there needs to be a look at the team we've got, rather than constantly always think about who else we can bring in. I know we need someone to bring in to help out Bishop and always be that leading man for him, but apart from that, I think look at the team we've got and then bring in people to support the team we've got, not change the whole team around.
Would you agree, Dave? Do you build the team around Colby Bishop?
Yeah, I think it's vital that the one thing they really need to get the best out of Colby Bishop, which Sam said, given the amount of goals he's scored in the team this season, but I don't think they're set up for him at present. I think you need fast wingers and you need to be getting balls into the box. That's something that Portsmouth have lacked this season and for a couple of years now, really. And I think I've heard rumours about Gavin White. I think someone like that would be an excellent signing to really hopefully get even more goals out of Bishop next season.
So who do you look to build the team with? Do you try and, now that we've got the likes of Riley Towler, do you try and bring in more experienced players, Dave, or would you still be going down the young, exciting new talent route?
Yeah, I think it's difficult, isn't it? I think Riley Towler is right on the fence of, do you want him to be your main sort of leader of that back three or back four, whichever it ends up being next season? He's probably good enough to do it. It might be a year early for him to do it, so probably an experienced partner alongside him would be preferable. But then again, he's done well alongside Deshaun Bernard the last few games, so if they can bring in Bernard permanently, that might be an option worth exploring next season.
And you mentioned Ronan Curtis, Kirsty, that you got a soft spot for him. It feels like a really difficult one with Ronan Curtis this summer, but you're in the keep him camp. Are you in the keep him camp because you like his mentality, or are you in the keep him camp because you think he has more potential?
No, it's definitely the way he fights. like just the passion he has. I think to find a player who has been with us for 5 years and the passion he has and the way whenever he's on that pitch, all he wants to do is just get the Pompey fans going, get the hype up and everything like that. I think that's why I'd love to keep him. Obviously, I know he's got a long way to go with his injury, so it's either the case of we help him out till the end of his injury and then when he's fit and healthy we let him go, or we give him another chance. But I always remember Massino saying whenever he played against us he was always looking out for Curtis, because he always found Curtis as such a threat. Obviously, I know that was back when we were in League Two as well, but yeah, I don't know. I just think Curtis is great.
Does it have to be the I mean, it feels like we've spoken a lot about Ronan Curtis and a lot about Owen Dale this year, Dave, and it feels like they're two players sort of cut from the same cloth. But on loan players, as well as I mentioned Owen Dale, that needs to, well, we expect that to change next season. We expect fewer loany players to come in. and that's going to be really important if this club want to be sustainable, as I keep saying that they want to be, both on the pitch and off the pitch. Less of a spend on loan players is going to be essential.
Yeah, I think permanent signings are what's needed. I think this is a massive season coming up next season with the new TV deal that got announced a couple of days ago, and the way money's going to be divided after next season, and so much more going to Championship clubs, and the fact League One clubs are going to get a bit more, it makes the big attendances at Fratton Park irrelevant, because the smaller clubs are going to get more in TV money to kind of negate that advantage that Portsmouth have had the last few seasons. So I think next season, I don't think looking for a playoff place is enough. I think they really need to be looking to try and win the division and go up automatically. The fact we haven't owned our first choice goalkeeper for several years now, I think the fans are fed up with that sort of situation. And the backbone of the team needs to be players that are contracted to Portsmouth Football Club, with maybe one or two promising youngsters coming in on loan just to boost what you've got.
And if that's going to happen, though, because this is a big ask to go from having a manager who was playing, well, he was on the bench, but he was playing at the start of January, to suddenly having him now as our first team manager, and you want automatic promotion next year. If that's going to happen, he's going to need as much time as possible with the players in the summer, isn't he? So Pompey can't do what they did last summer and wait around to see what's happening with a load of players and then suddenly sign them all in the last couple of weeks of the transfer window before the first game. They need to get it done early.
Yeah, they need to be going in. And the Eisners, I think it's, part of their pitch was you don't need, as if you want to stay in League One. Well, it's time to show that, because we need them now, and we need them this summer to put their money where their mouth is and take us up next season, I think, because otherwise it could be a very long, hard slog to get out of this division.
You agree next year, make or break season?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, we can't. Yeah, we need to go up next season. Otherwise, it's just the same old every other season. So yeah, we definitely make or break 100%.
And I thought, I'm trying to find the tweet. Actually, there was a good tweet from someone, but I can't quite find it. I've screenshotted it somewhere on my phone. But mentioning the fact that next season, Dave, actually, when you look at the teams that are potentially coming up from League Two and the teams that are coming down from the Championship, assuming Sheffield Wednesday, Ipswich, and Plymouth are all out of this league, next year could be the year where the Sharks, I think they said, were out of the league.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at the three teams coming down, Reading, Wigan and Blackpool are all in a complete mess financially. So, we thought that about Derby last year, but I think it's going to be difficult for those three traditionally slightly smaller clubs, not much money to spend, potential transfer embargoes. Hopefully they're going to find it difficult. And then the teams coming up, Orient and Stevenage, it's hard to imagine them challenging at the top end of League One on their budgets. I think Stockport are the ones that I'd be wary of if they come up via the playoffs. They've got very wealthy owners and they've spent a bit of money. But otherwise, you're right. I think you're looking at the usual rivals like Bolton and Peterborough. But I don't think there's anyone Portsmouth need to be frightened of. And absolutely, if we spend that little bit of money to give us a top three budget rather than a top seven budget, then I can absolutely see us doing the business next season.
Nice one. Thank you very much indeed, Dave. Lovely to chat to you. You can go and watch the rest of your under-8s game now. Good luck to you. Is it your son or your daughter playing?
Oh, my son.
It's your son. All right. Well, go well to your son. Hope they go well today. Have a good one. Cheers, Dave. Dave Clark joining us on Pompey Live from PA Sport. Good to have him on. Kirsty, we'll let you go for the time being as well. Hopefully get some more from you and Jake. We're also going to get some fan opinions on the show next as well.
The unmissable action.
This is Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
Let's continue our review of Pompey's season, and time now to hear from a couple of Pompey fans in Sam Stone and Rebecca Eleanor, who is also the Her Game 2 ambassador for Pompey as well. I've been speaking for their initial, for their initial reflections on the season.
I honestly thought we were going to be up there, and obviously I was gutted that it didn't work out for the Cowleys. I love Danny Cowley and Nicky Cowley, so it just obviously it turned on its head when Rafferty and Lowry got injured and we never really recovered, did we? So not ideal. It would be nice to actually have something to celebrate next season, but obviously we need to invest.
I've been a Pompey fan since 2005-ish, and I'm going to say this is probably the strangest season to date. I always anticipate, with Pompey, you've always got to anticipate the worst. You've always got to anticipate a drop-off in performances. Did I honestly think it was going to be this dramatic? No, I didn't. I mean, when you look back at the last couple of seasons as well, we started well last season, won the first few games, dropped off under Kenny Jackett in 2019-20. We were top at Christmas, but it kind of felt that those performances and that drop-off was coming, and it slowly happened. But for this season, so obviously we've been playing so well up until kind of mid-September time, and then the drop-off and 14 games unbeaten, I just didn't expect it. I also would like to say I felt Pompey had a really good transfer window as well in 2022. The likes of Pack, Tom Lowry and Colby Bishop are all excellent players at this level. So I thought we actually did quite well in the transfer window considering we didn't spend that much. But for me, I just felt the turning point. I don't know if it's necessarily a turning point, but that turning point felt like it was the Plymouth game when Lowry got injured, and it just felt like everything kind of unraveled from then. It just wasn't working out for Danny Cowley.
And you mentioned Danny and Nicky going. On reflection now, although it was a difficult time for Pompey fans, does it still feel like the right decision was made?
I feel like it was the right decision because it just didn't really feel like we were going to get a win from anywhere. You know, we could have got sucked into relegation almost, you know, the way it was going. So, yeah, I think it was the right decision. Obviously, with John Massino, I don't know. I feel like when he first came, it looks like the players have, you know, been playing with more freedom and things like that. But hopefully next season, I don't really know what to say. We just obviously need to strengthen the squad and maybe just get rid of the dead wood. And I mean, in my opinion, obviously you've got the likes of Colby Bishop, Joe Morrell, you know, Rafferty, Lowry, you know, etc. Like players that we should sort of build the team around. Riley Towler as well. Like that was a really good signing in January.
I mean, I was a big fan of him. I'm sure a lot of Pompey fans were, and I really wanted to work out. I'm not convinced that he was the main issue, but it just felt like the players were disinterested. There were some issues with the medical department as well. So yeah, overall, I'm just going to go with one of the, as I said, it's just a strange season. And for us to nearly kind of get back within touching distance of the playoffs under John Massino to once again throw it away, it's just been so up and down. And I'm just hoping for a little bit more consistency as well, heading into the new campaign, because that's all we want. It feels like this kind of up and down nature has been plaguing us for the last few campaigns. So that's something I'd like to change heading into the new season. But yeah, it's certainly been a memorable one, but not necessarily for the right reasons.
Interesting you mentioned the kind of mystery around the season. Do you think that depth or the lack of depth has been more apparent this season than possibly ever?
Yeah, mainly because of the injury issues. I just mentioned the Plymouth game. Now, I thought the first half at home at Fratton Park, I thought we were unplayable. You know, Lowry was running the midfield. His injury, Rafferty's injury as well, that's a math. They were two really vital players in the start of the season. And even when Rafferty came back, we didn't lose a game for a while when he came back in. So that lack of depth really did hurt us. And I feel like when you look at the likes of Plymouth, you look at the likes of Ipswich, you look at Sheffield Wednesday, their bench compared to Pompey's bench is just a different level. I mean, like when you towards what was it, the Derby game at the weekend, we just had with Dane Scarlett on the bench as really one of our only attacking options to bring on a 19-year-old lone player who hasn't really hit the heights we expected. So for me, yeah, that has been a big issue, and that's something that needs to be resolved. Definitely heading into the summer, there needs to be quality. There needs to be two players for every position that are quality players that are pushing each other, not solely, you know, the squad was looking a bit thin. And when you do get played by injuries, that can be, you know, it can be a fatal blow to any hopes of promotion.
And like the summer and next season in general for the fans, do you feel like it's going to be a pretty, if this season wasn't a critical season, next season really will be?
I think so, because I think, I mean, even you've seen when the plane was flying around Fratton Park, you know, people are losing their patience. I know that's like, it's a small minority, but I think, you know, people are looking at the stadium and things like that, work going on in the stadium, I guess, to make it so that it passes its safety certificates and things like that. But it's like there's not really investment going on the pitch. And yeah, obviously we want to be, you know, sustainable and everything like that, you know, financially in a good place. But, you know, we need to start putting putting the finances on the players and making a real go of it. Otherwise, we're going to be stuck in this league forever.
And given the players that have been sort of brought in, at, you know, in January, the likes of Riley Towler are all quite young players, and there seems to be a bit of a up and coming young talent philosophy at the moment. Would you be quite happy to see a few league EFL stalwarts assigned in the summer, or what kind of player would you be after?
I must say I'm a fan. I am a fan of this, you know, the recruitment structure with Richard Hughes at the top and then, you know, Messinho in there. So, you know, you're targeting younger players who can develop. I honestly think there's a way to go down. You look at Brighton, Brentford have done it brilliantly over the last couple of years, and everyone's waxing lyrical about those two clubs at the moment. I do like Towler, I do like Lane, and I feel like they could develop and they could earn the club a bit of money in the future. But you're right, there needs to be a balance between, you know, experienced League One players and this kind of flair of youth. And even when you look at, you know, Plymouth and Ipswich, there are some experienced heads in there as well. I do feel we have got some. I mean, the likes of Marlon Pack's been playing in the Championship for most of his career. I mean, Colby Bishop's 20 or 27 next year. So there is experience in there. But I'd like to see, I mean, we brought Michael Morrison in as that experienced head, but I'd like to see him potentially a more a quality addition, if you like, to come in and really make an impact, who's been proven in the Championship before. It is needed, though. We've seen, you know, the likes of Michael Doyle, for example. You need that experience. We need leaders. I do feel that is one issue with the squad as well. Pack, for me, is a leader, but we need that player who's going to galvanise, and that's an area I really like as a target.
And just finally, before we let you go, a word on the Her Game 2 campaign as well, which is going from strength to strength. What's your take been on the whole campaign and everyone getting involved this year?
Oh, honestly, it's been so brilliant to have Pompey partner up with it. You know, we had a really good fixture at the beginning of the season with the women's. I think it was almost 3,000 attendance, which was like the highest attendance, I think, for the women's. It's a record. And then obviously we had the dedicated fixture for the men's. It was Sheffield Wednesday at home, which was fantastic. It was like great to see everyone. Recently they've just partnered up with Liverpool. So, I mean, it's going from strength to strength. And I just think, you know, people are going to you just need to kind of like really like change their mindsets. It's just about accepting that the things that might have been laughed off maybe 10, 20 years ago, however long, is just not acceptable anymore. And, you know, we want to make, you know, Pompey and, you know, the other clubs that we're partnered with as inclusive as possible.
All the unmissable action.
This is Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.